This is Nikki Hamilton, and I am here today with Mr. Earl Shores, and we are at the St. Mark's Community Center, and today's date is May 27th. So Mr. Shores, thank you so much for being here, and we'll just start from the beginning. If you would like to tell me about your family and where you grew up and how you came to Suwanee.
Well, thank you, Nikki, for this opportunity. I grew up in Belvidere, Tennessee, part of the county here. I'm the only child for my father and mother, Floyd Shores and Elise, Dora Lee Shores. I went to high school. First, I went to grammar school, of course, in Belvidere, Tennessee. It was a place that my grandfather helped set up. Then I went to Townsend High School in Winchester, which was an all-black school, and it closed down school year 66. Then I went to integrated school, Franklin County High School. That was an interesting school because I graduated as the first class after integration. Left there and went to Chattanooga Community College for a year. I was majoring in computer science. I got drafted in the military. I didn't go to the Army. I ran away and went to the Air Force. And I was there for 3 years, 8 months, and 17 days. I got out, and while I was in the military, my mother remarried. My father got killed right after I got out of high school in a car accident. My stepfather was Isaac Turner, and he worked for the Vice Chancellor. I think it was Vice Chancellor Bennett, I believe that was his name. He was the butler chauffeur, and he told him that his son wanted to go to college up here. So he got connections with Elizabeth Nick Chitty, been known as Ms. Chitty, and Arthur Ben Chitty. So they worked to get me here in Suwanee and got my transcripts, and the department there, financial aid and placement, helped me with all what was necessary for assistance. I got tutors and whatever I needed because I wanted to be a success there. Anyway, I majored in religion after first looking at mathematics and philosophy. Graduated in my school classes. I think December of 76. I marched with class of 77. So I consider myself class 76, 77. And that's how I grew up on a farm in Tennessee, 50-acre farm, and only child. It was nice. I had everything I needed, a few things I wanted, but I didn't want much because I was a farm boy in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. So what year did you actually come to Suwanee?
I came in 73 after I got out of the military. I think it was the second semester, 73.
And you attended the university?
The University of the South.
Yeah.
Majored in religion.
Can you say a little bit about your first years here at Suwanee?
First years at Suwanee, I guess the most traumatic part for me was I couldn't believe how friendly the people were. I just left the military during the Vietnam era and then stationed in Mississippi, coming up here, and I couldn't believe the people were as friendly and honest as they were. I was a police when I was in the military, and I worked for Deckard Police Department as a dispatcher, so I always carried a firearm legally. And even into class, I kept a 22 Magnum Derringer in my pocket for a while. But anyway, I did learn to trust the people. I find that they were very truthful. It was different than I had been used to over the previous years.
So you carried the firearm because you didn't feel like you could trust people, yeah?
Yes, because I couldn't believe they were as friendly and nice as they appeared to be, because I had never experienced that. Because remember, I'm from the county. And I grew up in the area, and I just didn't believe that the local people were that friendly.
Can you say a little more about your interactions with the African-American community here in Suwanee?
The interactions in Suwanee, well, when I came to Suwanee, I was married and had a child, so I lived with the seminary students. And so even though my parents, my mother and my stepfather lived here, I was basically involved with, when it comes to interaction with the community, I was on the volunteer fire department. And the school life part, I didn't participate that much because I was a family person plus working. But I had relatives here on campus, so I visited with them. So that was just continuation of relationships that I had when I grew up.
Were there other African Americans here when you came as students?
As students, yes, there were here. I didn't know that much about them. I did associate with Eric Benjamin. He was very outgoing at the time, and I invited him. He actually spent some time with my parents. He was invited over to dinner one time. I do remember that. I didn't have that much time to spend with any of the students, but when they had party weekends, I would not be with my family, and I'd be with the students. And they had Tennessee State would bring some students up and would socialize then. That was the most socializing time I had with the students, except in class.
Mm-hmm. So where did you graduate high school?
Where? Mm-hmm. From Winchester. After grade school in Belvedere, I went to Townsend High School, which was all black my senior year. We went to Franklin County High School and graduated in 67. And that was a test of patience, because some people wanted us to fail, and I was determined not to fail. But anyway, I met some good people there. The guidance counselor was a very nice lady. Her name was Ellen Murray. She was a very, very good lady to work with, and she steered me toward junior college, which was in Chattanooga. So Franklin County High School was where I graduated.
Mm-hmm. So you obviously grew up during changing times. Mm-hmm. Can you say a little bit more about whether you were aware of those changes, and then who helped you to make sense of those changes?
A flashback. I grew up in the changes, yes, because that was beginning of integration, and it was just a different time. But I guess that was all based on my ability to deal with changing times through family values, through Christian values, and I was able to cope with those. I experienced some trying times my father was killed in a car accident that when I came out of the military, I tried to research it, and I couldn't find any records on it. That never happened. That was very bad. I think when I went to first integrated school, I felt I was placed on a path to fail, and I was determined not to fail. It was times when George Wallace was in Chattanooga. It was time when riots were going on, and I was working Blue Cross Blue Shield, and the riot was going on right down the block. It was testing times, but you know, I believe in people are people. And I believe that we should try to take a person as a person, not a person as a color, because we're individuals. Everybody's different, and you just have to place your values on that person instead of the value of the race. It was challenging times, but my faith took me through it.
So you mentioned that your father's accident was as if it didn't happen. Can you say a little more about what you mean by that?
In 67, this is... right after graduation and before I went to college. I think it was June 3rd, 67. My birthday was June 7th when I turned 18. But he was at work, and it was this girl, white girl, babysitting, and she was driving fast, and she was passing this car, and they hit head-on. He was an Econoline van, which is no protection. He was killed in a car accident, which was very difficult, and I had gone over it for years in my mind. I wanted to make peace with myself and her, so I tried to look her up, and when I came back to Winchester to try to find a record, I couldn't find a record that it ever happened. So cover-ups like that was difficult for me, but I can't live the rest of my life hating anybody because I hurt myself more than I do that person.
Mm-hmm. How did some of your experiences growing up shape your perspective, and maybe if you can also say something about your time at Suwannee, how that shaped your perspective?
Growing up on the farm, being an only child, I didn't have anybody to rely on. I learned to rely on my own thinking, my own philosophy, my own value system that was, you know, taught to me as a child, what I thought that I was taught in church, Christian faith, and I found a lot of that in Swanee. It was a lot taught in Swanee about people. People are important, people are individuals, and we're all different, different cultures. Each individual is different. So, and Swanee is a somewhat of a melting pot where you can communicate and talk about your differences. You know, there was a lot of rich people here when I went. There was a lot of smart people, and there was people that weren't as smart and people not as rich, and some were. And they brought their own home values with them, and it's like a melting pot. And I think learning from those and what I was taught as a child and when I was raised made my life richer. It was a great chance to come here, opportunity. Many people in this area, even in Swanee today, have not ventured into different world cultures and been in different places, and this just sort of enriched that.
When you think of like some of your fondest memories at Swanee, what comes to mind?
Fondest memories? PG?
Whatever you're willing to say.
Fondest memories. I have a lot of memories of Swanee. I enjoy working in the fire department. Met a lot of people there. I learned about being a fireman. Worked for the police department, learned about being a policeman, civilian style. I really enjoyed that. Those are the fun memories. Party weekend was nice. Academics were hard. But I remember those study days we had, because we had 6-day classes. I don't know where that goes on now, but 6-day class, yeah, I know, and everybody had to wear ties and those things. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I know a lot has changed, but I remember the structure the free time that I had. I'd take my truck back out in the woods, and it was such tranquil out there with the foxes and deer and bear, and just out there alone. Yeah, that was very peaceful.
Were there other people of color on the fire team or the police?
Fire department and police, there was one guy, Melvin Cunningham. He was a local person.
His name again?
Melvin Cunningham. Mm-hmm. He always wanted to be a policeman. He used to come up and wash the police cars just so he could drive from point A to point B to wash them coming back. And he became a dispatcher as well, and he was on the fire department. He was the only person, the local person at the time of color, that was involved in those two departments while I was here. Mm-hmm. And I was involved in them primarily because I was a policeman in the military. And I just thought, David Green, I met him. He was a little kid at the time. Mm-hmm. And I was with him and his father. And at the time, we were good friends. And actually, I was playing Cupid when he got married. That was sort of fun. So I mean, I had a lot of good times.
Yeah.
More good times than bad times in Swanee.
Yeah. Can you say a little bit more about challenges that you experienced at Swanee?
The biggest challenge I had was academics, and I couldn't believe the people were so kind. I guess that was the biggest challenge. Was my academics was rough on me. I had tutorials, and one class in particular, which I won't mention, and don't check my GPA, that I didn't do well three times, but I was determined I was going to pass it, because I was determined that I would not let this beat me.
Mm-hmm. And what about socially?
Socially, I had my wife, I had my son, and then my daughter was born as I was leaving here. And I had family, cousins, a lot of cousins, quite a few cousins here in Swanee, and people that I knew from church. So socially, I didn't have a problem, because it was easy to go to school here if you had family. Mm-hmm. It's a challenge to go to school here, a big challenge if you don't have family, mm-hmm. because in a way, Swanee has its own community.
Were your kids born here?
One.
Yeah, which one?
My middle child. Okay. My first child was born when I was in the military. And then my youngest
was
born.
Your name is, your first child?
Ivan.
Ivan.
Ivan. He's a flight attendant now, international flight attendant. my daughter that was born here, she's in Sandusky, she's hairstylist. I wanted her to become a pilot, but she wanted to do hair, so she's a hairstylist. She's a good one. Mm-hmm. My youngest is electronic technician for Cleveland Clinic. So he gets to tear up things and fix them. That's what he has to always buy him toys. He take them apart, and then he can put them back together.
How old were your kids when you moved away from Swanee? Did they grow up here?
No, they didn't. Ivan was 4, because he was born just before I came here. Yvette was born here, and then we left. So she was probably 7. She was almost a year old.
Mm-hmm. Oh, neat.
So they have hardly any memories. Yvette has none. The oldest has memories because he went to Swanee public school system downtown.
Okay. Out of some of the things that you learned from your parents and your mentors or your teachers, what would you say or what feels the most valuable to you?
At this moment?
Mm-hmm.
people, relationships. You take a person as a person instead of person as a class or as an ethnic group. To me, that's the most important. And I practice that today in my career, in my retirement career, in my career I'm in now. I think that's the most important, people. At one time I worked for IBM, and I was a computer programmer, systems person. That was boring as heck. You know, you get a project, they throw it over in the corner, and you come out with an answer. I like dealing with people.
Yeah. If there were one or two things that you would want people to most remember about, one, your childhood, and then two, about your experiences here in Swanee, what would that be?
Never give up. If you start a challenge, finish it. Don't be a quitter. To me, that's the most important thing. If you set a goal, stick to it. It may get hard, it may seem impossible, but don't give up. To me, that's the most important thing. And always set a goal that you want, not that somebody say you want, and somebody say that you should do. Follow your dreams.
Mm-hmm. Now, would you say that you wanted to attend Swanee as a university, or who encouraged you to attend here?
Well, growing up, I had no dream about going to Swanee because it was out of my reach. Mm-hmm. Financially, academically, any kind of way. I think coming to Swanee is a great opportunity for anyone. I'm glad I had that opportunity. It was my stepfather that said that I should do it, and then my mother pushed me. You know, I'm my mother's baby still, and I always tried to please her, and I wish that everybody had an opportunity to go here,
mm-hmm.
and it's. I was very thankful that I had that, and I have encouraged people over the years to go. And some people didn't have the push that I had to go mm-hmm. here. And I think it's a good school. It has its challenges, like every place has, but there's no perfect place. But for what I wanted out of life, this gave it to me.
Mm-hmm.
It gave me a chance to go into different areas. The liberal arts education is good because I've done quite a few different things, and liberal arts education allowed me to adapt.
What was your wife doing while you were at school?
She was taking care of me. No, she had graduated from nursing school, Erlanger School of Nursing, while we first got married, and then when she graduated, she moved with me to my base in Mississippi. So when she came up here, she worked for the University Hospital,
mm-hmm.
University of the South Hospital, and so I became her dependent.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, a full-time employee could have benefits of the dependents. So technically, I became her dependent.
Mm-hmm.
So, she was an RN there. And she had a good career as an RN. She went to Ohio and RN there. She works as a dialysis nurse, step-down nurse, surgery, and emergency room nurse. So she had a good career. She's retired. I don't know how to retire. So.
Yeah. And some of those benefits, did you all get any benefits through the university because your wife was an employee?
That time I did. At that time, as she is an employee, and like I said, I became independent, so I got tuition
mm-hmm.
out of it. which was a gigantic benefit. I was drawing my VA educational benefits, plus I worked on work study, plus I worked at the police department in Deckard. So actually, with the benefits they gave me and my other benefits from the military and my work, we lived comfortably as a student. We didn't struggle as a student.
Yeah.
And thank God, when I graduated, I had no bills.
Nice.
The master's was a little more of a challenge, but I had to work that out later.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So are there any final thoughts you want to say about your experience at SWANE?
I thank God for the opportunity of being a student at SWANE, and I would like to offer that chance for other students of color to come here. I think they've definitely enriched the history and the culture of SWANE, and there's a lot to learn. SWANE had a history of being in leadership when it comes to the integration in this county.
Mm-hmm.
They did a big part of that. Of course, there's always skeletons in the closet, but I'll leave those there. And for me personally, I think they did a good job in trying to bring more minorities and also bring in many, many different cultures. At one time, I understand, it was all male white school. And then things started changing as soon as they allowed women to come. And it just keeps changing. And I think, at least the part that I've experienced, it's been the changes for the good.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Olshores, thank you so much for your time today. It's been an honor and a privilege to hear your story. So thank you for sharing that with us. And we really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Nikki, for the opportunity to speak on a few things.